morning, Proverbs chapter number 18, Proverbs chapter number 18, as we lead up to our Friend Day Bible conference. This morning's title of the message is, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That's also our theme for the Friend Day. And last time I'll be speaking on Sunday before the Friend Day, or at least last Sunday morning service. I'll also be preaching tonight, obviously. Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 24. Some familiar passages of Scripture in dealing with friendship. And this morning I'd like to look at this and just talk a little bit for a little while about how great a friend we have in Jesus. So Proverbs chapter 18, let's look here in verse number 24. The Bible says, A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for today. Thank you for the Scripture. Thankful for how great of a friend you are to us. Lord, I know sometimes it seems like we're not a very good friend back to you. But Lord, I pray that we recognize what we have in you and the relationship we have with you and the friendship that you offer. And Lord, help us have a desire to appreciate that friendship and to grow that relationship we have with you, but also to be able to share our relationship with others too. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I know sometimes some hymns have some pretty cool stories attached to it. And since our theme this year is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, I thought I'd read to you the background of the story of the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm sure we'll be singing that day for our Friend Day. So it was written by a man named Joseph Scriven. He was 25 years old. He was in love to be married. And the day before his wedding, the story goes that his fiancée died in a tragic drowning accident. He was heartbroken. So Joseph left his homeland, which was in Ireland, to start a new life in Canada. While in Canada working as a teacher, he fell in love once again, became engaged to Eliza Roach, and was a relative of one of his students. Joseph's hopes and dreams were shattered once again when Eliza also became ill and died right before their wedding could take place. Although only one could imagine the turmoil within this young man, history tells us that his faith in God sustained him. Soon after Eliza's death, Joseph joined the Plymouth Brethren and began preaching for a Baptist church. It says he never married, but spent the remainder of his life giving all his time, money, and even the clothes off his back to help the less fortunate and to spread the love and compassion of Jesus wherever he went. Around the same time that Eliza died, Joseph received word from Ireland that his mother was ill. Because he had given up many of his possessions, he did not have the money to go, but he could not be with her, so he wrote a letter of comfort. And upon this letter of comfort, he enclosed one of his poems, which was entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Many years later, when a friend was sitting with Joseph. He was very sick, but during the visit, the friend was very impressed with many of his poems, including this one, especially, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And as a result of this visit, almost 30 years after his letter to comfort his mother, Joseph's poems was published in a book called Hymns and Other Verses. Soon thereafter, there was a noted musician that put music to one of those poems and entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. The person who made it famous was Ira Sankey. We remember Ira Sankey as the person who worked with D.L. Moody all those years. Sankey came upon the music and the words, and he published it inside his Gospel Hymns number 1. It's amazing. You know, we remember some of the words with the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Should we never be discouraged? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You'll find a solace there. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory, bright, unclouded there, will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. And what a friend we have in Jesus. I don't know about you, but you know, there are times that those songs and that poem or other songs are a great comfort. You hear stories about this man, and you see this man, you know, his one fiance dies and his another fiance dies, and then his mother's sick and he can't even get there. And I'm sure that was a something that he was uncomfortable about. I'm sure he would want to be there. I know that even with different people who have been sick in my family and me being here, I know that we've been kind and generous in the idea of me being able to go and see them and encouraging me with that. But still, you want to be there. You want to be a help. But this man says, thankfully, we have a friend in Jesus. I think that's an amazing thought. I don't know about you. I have a lot of friends. The Lord's blessed me with a lot of friends. I'm thankful for all my friends. But I'm most thankful for my best friend, which is Jesus Christ. And there are times and moments in our lives where, you know, we struggle. We carry hard things and tough things. But the amazing thing is we have a friend in Jesus Christ who can bear all our burdens. He even tells us to cast our cares upon him. And we have such a friend in Jesus. Today I'd like to, maybe just for a little while, look at this verse, also look at some other ones. And I'm not talking about some fiction character. You know, some people, when they think about Jesus, they think of about some type of fantasy friend. That's not the case. You can have a real, sincere, and developed relationship with Jesus Christ. He is a real friend that you can communicate with. He is someone who will abide with you through life and through death. The person Jesus is no myth or fairy tale. History tells us. I tell you, there's more books written about Jesus than it is any other book, any other person ever to live. And there is just more evidence that he lived and that he died. And even that he rose again than that Caesar ever lived. Because there is more eyewitness accounts about Jesus than there was even about Caesar, one of his contemporaries. He's a friend. Now, he is a friend that's so faithful to us. So let's see here a couple things. First thing I want you to think about in this passage of Scripture, I see two things in it. We're going to use it as a jumping off point to get into the message. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The first thing I want you to see is there's a requirement for friendship. And what is that? Is that he hath to show himself friendly. A requirement for friendship. A man that have friends must show himself friendly. If we are to make friends, we need to take the first step. And let me encourage you that, you know what, if we want to have friends, we need to show ourselves friendly. And when we even go a step farther than that, we need to learn how to be a friend to others and not just for fellowship's sake. And once again, I am thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for the fellowship I can have and the kindness that they show and demonstrate and the burdens we can carry for one another. But we also need to understand our point of being a friend of God and also reaching out to others. Now, this is not the main part of the message, but there's a requirement for friendship, but also there's a reliability of a friend. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend will stick by you in good times and bad. This verse describes Jesus, I think, very well in the fact that he showed us his friendship when he came to this world and how he is reliable to us as the fact that he continues with us. There's three things I want you to think about how Jesus demonstrates this verse. The first thing is his coming to us. He came to us. He says, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And I'm telling you that Jesus demonstrated his love and his friendship towards us. He initiated this friendship. He didn't have to leave his heavenly throne. He did not have to leave a place where his will was done every second of every day to come to a sinful planet that was going to treat him so wrongly and so badly. He demonstrated his friendship. He demonstrated by making that first step. And because he loves us. In a sense, he wants to be our friend. And I don't want to make it trivial, but I believe he desires to be there for us. He has given us everything we need to be able to make him our all in all, to make him our most important thing in our lives. Not only did he come to us, he also had compassion for us. Another verse in the Bible talks about friendship. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus spoke these words the night before he died. The night on the evening of his crucifixion, Jesus says, I love you and I'm going to show you my love for you. I'm going to die in your place. And the fact that the Bible says that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. And that's good, because we're all sinners. And I said, well, we're not publicans, but we're all sinners. The Bible tells us that we all have fallen short of the glory of God, and that God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a friend. Not only did he show us the fact that he was showing his requirement and the fact that he was friend when he came here, but also he shows us his reliability and the fact that he demonstrated his love toward us. See, think about what Isaiah 53 says. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It says he was wounded. Do we grasp the significance of that? He was wounded for us so we could be a friend of his. So we could be enter into relationship with him. Zechariah says he was wounded in the house of his friends. He was forsaken by his friends. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He was crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross. Why? Because he loves us. So he shows us that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. He demonstrates that. He shows us that because he came. He shows us that because of his compassion. I don't know about you, but he paid a debt for us. I don't know about you if you've ever had a debt before and ever had somebody step in and pay that debt for you. What a blessing. I know there's been a few times in my life where I depended upon God and I asked God, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, how this is going to work out. And out of nowhere, out of a source I would have never expected, God provides something. You know, that's one of the greatest feelings in the world, when you can see God working. It's not something you initiated, not something you try to make happen, but God answers the prayer and works out the answer in a way that you never even considered. That's what he did for us. We had a sin debt that we could not pay, and Jesus stepped in for us. He demonstrates his friendship. A man that have friends must show himself friendly. And the question is, how much do we show and demonstrate our friendship to others? I'm not just talking about us inside this room, because inside this room it's easy to be friendly with people who we know and we talk to and we understand and we worship together and we fellowship together. But God wants us to go out into the world and show the love of Christ. This type of love, this type of friendship that Christ can offer to the world, this is what people need. So many times we talk to people about political things, we talk to people about social things, we talk to people about other things because we think that's what they need. But what they need is a friendship or a life that involves Jesus Christ. Now, not only as amazing it is that he continued with us, and that he came to us, and that he has his compassion on us, I think one of the greatest things is that he continues with us. He doesn't give up on us. You see here the reliability of him. He says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I am thankful for all the friends that have stuck by me over the years. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's Jesus Christ. And he is no fair-weathered friend. He is one that never deserts us. He is someone who does not turn away from our trouble. He's someone who doesn't shy away from being inconvenienced. He's not someone that pretends like he doesn't hear our needs or doesn't see our needs or doesn't recognize our needs. Now, there is a friend that sticketh closer than our brothers. Our certain sins he does not turn away from. And even when we've done wrong, he's still there to help us and lead us and guide us. There's another verse in the Bible that talks about friendship, and it's the interesting story found in Luke chapter number 11. Let's go ahead and take our Bible to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11, there's the Lord's teaching on prayer here, and I understand that. But there's something I think you can get out of this passage of Scripture that I saw, I hope that you can see also. Luke chapter number 11, we're going to start in verse number 5. Luke 11:5, the Bible says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Now, you notice that word friend. And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my friend and my children, are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And he continues on, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Go back to verse number 5 here. You see this idea that he said unto him, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? You say, what type of friend is that? You know, a friend that's going to come bother me at midnight? And that's why I began thinking a little bit when I think about how it says that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I began thinking about who could I call at midnight? You know, if push came to shove, who is it that I could go to at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning with a need? Who is in a sense, a midnight friend? Who is someone that I could feel close enough and personal enough? And don't get me wrong, I am blessed with many friends, but you know what? That number probably would decrease some in those people that I feel could feel comfortable about calling at midnight. Hey, Pastor, what are you getting at? I see the friendship here, and I see this man here. He had a friend that he knew well enough and knew that loved him enough that he could approach him and go to him even at a late night with a simple request. See, a midnight friend is one that you can call at all times. Is there people that we can go to and say, hey, you know what? I need something. And no matter what time of day is, and that's a true friend. Someone you can count on, someone you can depend on. Someone, it doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's midnight, 2 a.m, 3 a.m. It's someone that they can approach. When he says unto him, which of you shall have a friend and go unto him at midnight, meaning that you know there's someone that you can depend on, you know there's someone that you can trust in, there's someone you can help. And at someone at midnight. Next one, you think about it, a midnight friend is one you can call on at all times. A midnight friend is one you can ask for things. You think about it, now you have a list, maybe 100 friends. I don't know. Depends on what you count a friend or acquaintance, whatever. And you know what? There's probably only 5 to 10 people you could call at midnight and ask for help. But then that other 5 is someone you can actually feel comfortable asking for things. That's what this man does. He goes and he says, you go to this friend at midnight and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. He's asking for something. He believes that his friend could help him. He has a type of friend that is willing to actually help him with his things that are in need. It's not just someone that has friends that you can just say, oh, I'll be praying for you, or I'll see if I can help you with that. It's a friend who actually sees that you have a need and say, you know what? I want to help you meet that need. What a wonderful friend that is. Someone you can go to anytime. Someone you can ask things for. Someone who believes in your cause. You know what? This is a man who believes in his cause. He believes his friend. He says, I know I have a friend who I can go to at any time. I know I can not only go to this man at any time, I know I can ask him for things, and I know he'll understand my cause. He'll understand my reasoning. He'll understand I'm not asking for myself. In this passage of scripture, he wasn't asking for himself. He was saying to him, hey, look, can you help me? I have someone who's come. I don't have anything. I can't meet that need. I want to help meet that need because that's what I'm supposed to do. Can you help me meet that need? What a great friend. I wonder if we're friends like that. And you think about it as one who can be inconvenienced. And you see in the story, the man says, trouble me not. The door is now shut. He's saying, if you can find any other way, go ahead and find it. Maybe it's not the best example, but you see what he does. He gets up and helps him. He said, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? I'm thankful I have friends like this. I'm thankful I can have friends that I can go to at any time, who I can ask for help, and I hate asking for things. Say, Pastor, you ask for things all the time, and there are so many more things we could use and so many more different things we could do and need, and that's part of leadership, is letting people know a need and asking for, you know, people to let the Lord direct and lead so that that way they can help fill. But, you know, going and asking things personally, that's a hard thing for me to do. But there are friends I know that I could go to. There are people who I know I can inconvenience. There are people who will understand the cause and want to get involved and be excited. You know what? We need to try to reach this person. We need to try to help this person. Can you help over here with this? There are people you can go to like that. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do? Well, I think about this, and then I go over here in verse number 10. It says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father. And once again, this is a son coming to a father asking for a need. And if he asks for bread, this, you can read the passage of scripture, the father's not going to give him a stone, not going to give him a fish, not going to give him a serpent, not going to give him a scorpion. You know what? Because it says in verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, to be a midnight friend to people means that you're going to have to inconvenience yourself. You're going to have to open yourself up. As someone that you're going to have to be willing to be friends with people you can get involved in with their calls and things that you're going to have to give of yourself to do. And there are people like this and even friends like this. And sometimes they might say, well, can you find another way? But the example is at the end of the story is that Jesus is a much better friend than that midnight friend. He's someone that you can go to at any time. He's someone that who will, if you're living for him, that calls that you have. And he was willing to be inconvenienced for our sakes. He was willing to do anything for us. And what I'm trying to get at today is, what type of friend are we? We're going to fail as friends. There are going to be times when we're just going to have to humanly say, no, I can't do this. And yes, I can pray for you. I don't want to minimize that because prayer is huge. Prayer is important. Sometimes people use that as an excuse where they could help and where they could give, but instead they use that as an excuse. But no, that's not Jesus. Jesus is what a friend we have in Jesus. We can go to him at midnight. I don't know if you about you, but I've been to him at midnight before. I've been to him at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've been to him at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when there's such a great need and there's such a great burden. There's such a great problem. And some people can take tranquilizers or some people can take sleep aids, but we have a God that we can turn to. We have someone we can run to. We have someone who's willing to help carry your burdens. He showed us that when he showed himself that he was friendly, when he came to this world, when he demonstrated that love for us. And then he says, I'm going to stick with you. No matter how close that you have as a friend, you have a friend that sticketh even closer if you're willing to rely on him. So here's the story. We got what a friend we have in Jesus. We're getting ready to head into Bible conference and friend day. And sometimes I don't think we really appreciate the friend that we have in Jesus. Here's the story. And I know sometimes I listen to preachers tell illustrations, and you sit there and say, I wonder if that's true or not. If you ever heard Dr. David Gibbs preach, he's the guy that's the president or whatever, founder of CLA, really a great speaker. You can listen to him online, really a great speaker. And he's been through a lot, so he knows a lot of amazing stories. And it seems like when he's preaching, he has the perfect story for a perfect time. And sometimes I just want to call him up on the phone and say, is that story really true? There's no way that that could tie in together. Now, as I was studying, I read this story here. I came across the story. I did not write this story. Person said it was true. And I thought I went along with it, along with the story, the message here. So I'm going to read it for you. This week I read a story about a dog owner. I don't know how many dog owners we have. Dogs are much better than cats. Sorry if you don't agree. But I like dogs better than cats. I had somebody tell me earlier, because we have snake problems at our house, we should get a pet possum. And so that way they can eat the snakes. But I don't think my wife's going to buy into that one. So I read a story about a dog owner who had a dog that was very faithful, a very helpful companion, and even a help to him in his line of work for many years. But the dog was getting old and was not very useful, especially not as it used to be. So the owner decided to drown him. Took the dog to a large river near his home. The owner got into the boat, rowed to the deepest part of the river. It picked up the dog and threw the dog in the river. The dog swam as best as it could, tried to get back into the boat. Unswayed, the owner still kept on pushing the dog away back into the water. The dog kept on swimming back. The dog only knew how to be faithful. Finally, the owner took out an oar, intending to beat the dog away from the boat because he thought it was best for the dog to pass on than to continue on living this way. However, when he stood up in the boat, began to swing the oar, he lost his balance. He fell into the water, but the dog owner did not know how to swim. So most of us know the story. The faithful dog caught hold of the clothes of the owner and brought the owner safely to the shore, saving his life. Now, hearing this story, we might feel like the heartless owner deserved to drown. And I'm not trying to put the comparison here that Jesus is like a dog. I'm not saying that. But how many times do we try to push Jesus away when we don't think we need him? How many times when we say, I don't need you right now, we shove him away, we don't want him, but he's still that friend that stays right there with us, trying to help us and guide us and lead us. Just as the owner treated his faithful dog, many times Jesus was treated the same way. When we think we have no need of him, he has stuck with us. When we try to shove him away, he never stops seeking after us. And we think about at the beginning of our relationship, when we were doomed to drown in our sins, Jesus came to rescue us and to save us. We have no greater friend than Jesus, because there was no greater man than the Lord Jesus Christ, who demonstrated no greater love than when he died on the cross for our sin, who worked for no greater miracle than when he rose from the dead. He offers us no greater gift than the one when he offers us eternal life. Since Jesus Christ is such a friend to us, what type of friend are we to him? Friendship should be answered with friendship. It isn't always. We should stick by our friends. How often do we spend time with Jesus? How often do we stay close with him? How often do we share him with others? How often do we seek to please him? I know when I have a good friend, if there's a way I can help a friend, I will try to please my friend as much as I can. But how often do we seek to please him? Many times we trust our friends. How often do we trust in Jesus as our friend? This morning's message, it's just an amazing thought how great of a friend we have in Jesus. And I want you to take away today the awesomeness that Jesus Christ is to us, the love he demonstrated, the reliability that he gave us, the requirement of a friend. Show himself friendly. And he proves us. He tells us to a T when he shows us in his coming, shows us in his compassion, and shows us in the fact that he continues with us. He's there for us. I know that I have friends in high school that I thought would be friends for life, that I have no idea what's going on in their world. I probably keep in contact with one person from my graduating class, and that's it. You say, wow, that's not many. Well, I only had a graduating class of 12. So some of you have these 300, 400. You go these 50-year reunions. We just had 25-year reunion. We didn't even have one because there's only 12 of us. So and we don't really like each other anyway. But the friends, people that who are really, truly friends in your life, who are the people you can count on? Who is like that midnight friend, the person that you know you can call anytime? You know you could inconvenience him. You know if you had a need, you could ask them. You know that if you had something on your heart, a cause, wanting to reach someone, wanting to help someone, there was a person you could go to and say, I need something. Having friends like that is amazing. We have a friend that's even better than that in Jesus. Earthly friends, fantastic. We should appreciate them. We should be thankful for them. We should develop those relationships. We should pray for them. And we should be as good of a friend, if not better, than they are to us. Do our best. But we have a that much better friend in Jesus Christ. We need to share that with people. We need to, when we go out this week and we have 2 weeks away from our friend day and say, we want to invite you to our church because we're celebrating the great friend that Jesus Christ is to us. What a friend we have in Jesus. We're celebrating what he's done for us and how close he is to us, and how in my deepest and darkest times and the hardest times when the burdens are overwhelming and it seems like the weights that we're carrying, there's no one that understands. I can turn to him and he's there for me. Now, unfortunately, many of us don't. Many of us, like that picture of the story, push him away. I got to do this. I got to take care of this. I don't need you anymore. No, we need to receive him. And he say, Lord, help me. I know I can't do this on my own. Lord, you've showed and demonstrated the requirement of a friend, that you must show yourself friendly. Lord, you showed that you continue and you're reliable, because there's a spot in the Bible that says, a friend loveth at all times, and that's what he does. He loves at us all times. There's many times when friends will disappoint us, friends will stab us in the back sometimes. You know, you cannot be betrayed by someone, a stranger. You just can't, because you're not going to have your trust in a stranger. But you can be betrayed by a friend. But Jesus has promised you. He's going to never leave you and never forsake you. What a friend we have in Jesus. And this morning, I pray that you leave this place praying that God will make you the type of friend that you need to be, but also rejoicing in the friend you have in Him. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you to come forward. Understand His coming in this world, that He came to die for your sins, the compassion He showed you when He died for your sins, took your place, and how you have to put your faith and trust in Him to be able to enter into relationship with Him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.